Chapter 32, Beware of the Rats. The candlelight on Meg's tray revealed Gregory limping toward her, the thick rope tied around his ankle, his hands outstretched. "You," Gregory presumes, "have brought food for the jailer." "Gore," said Meg. She took a step backward. "Give it here," said Gregory, and he took the tray from Meg and sat down on an overturned kettle that had rolled free from the tower. He balanced the tray on his knees and stared at the covered plate. Gregory assumes that today, again, there is no soup. "Eh," said Meg. "Soup," shouted Gregory. "Illegal," shouted Meg back. "Most foolish," muttered Gregory as he lifted the cover off the plate. "Too foolish to be born a world without soup." He picked up a drumstick and put the whole of it in his mouth and chewed and swallowed. "Here," said Meg, staring hard at him. "You forgot the bones." "Not forgotten. Chewed." "Gore," said Meg, staring at Gregory with respect. "You eats the bones. You are most ferocious." Gregory ate another piece of chicken, a wing, bones and all, and then another. Meg watched him admiringly. "Someday," she said, moved suddenly to tell this man her deepest wish, "I will be a princess." At this pronouncement, Chiaroscuro, who was still at Meg's side, did a small, deliberate jig of joy in the light of the one candle. His dancing shadow was large and fearsome indeed. "Gregory sees you," Gregory said to the rat's shadow. Roscuro ceased his dance. He moved to hide beneath Meg's skirts. "Eh," shouted Meg, "what's that?" "Nothing," said Gregory. "So you aim to be a princess?" "Well, everyone has a foolish dream. Gregory, for instance, dreams of a world where soup is legal. And that rat, Gregory is sure, has some foolish dream too." "If only you knew," whispered Roscuro. "What?" shouted Meg. Gregory said nothing more. Instead, he reached into his pocket and then held his napkin up to his face and sneezed into it. Once, twice, three times. "Bless you," shouted Meg. "Bless you, bless you." "Back to the world of light," Gregory whispered, and then he balled the napkin up and placed it on the tray. "Gregory is done," he said, and he held the tray out to Meg. "Done, are you? Then the tray goes back upstairs. Cook says it must. You take the tray to the deep downs, you wait for the old man to eat, and then you bring the tray back. Them's my instructions." "Did they instruct you, too, to beware of the rats?"
"The what?"
"The rats."
"What about 'em?"
"Beware of them," shouted Gregory. "Right," said Meg. "Beware the rats." Roscuro, hidden beneath Meg's skirt, rubbed his front paws together. "Warn her all you like, old man," he whispered. "My hour has arrived. The time is now, and your rope must break. No nibbling this time. Rather a serious chew that will break it in two. Yes, it is all coming clear. Revenge is at hand." Chapter 33, A Rat Who Knows Her Name. Meg had climbed the dungeon stairs and was preparing to open the door to the kitchen when the rat spoke to her. "May I detain you for a moment?" Meg looked to her left and then to her right. "Down here," said Roscuro. Meg looked at the floor. "Gore," she said, "but you're a rat, ain't you? And didn't the old man just warn me of such? Beware the rats," he said. She held the tray up higher so that the light from the candle shone directly on Roscuro and the golden spoon on his head and the blood-red cloak around his neck. "There is no need to panic, none at all," said Roscuro. As he talked, he reached behind his back. Using the handle, he raised the soup spoon off his head, much in the manner of a man lifting his hat to a lady. "Gore," said Meg, "a rat with manners." "Yes," said Roscuro. "How do you do?" "My papa had him some cloth much like yours, Mr. Rat," said Meg. "Red like that. He traded me for it." "Ah," said Roscuro, and he smiled a large, knowing smile. "Ah, did he really? That is a terrible story. A tragic story." Reader, if you will pardon me, we must pause for a moment to consider a great and unusual thing. A pretentious thing. That great, unusual, pretentious thing is this. Roscuro's voice was pitched perfectly to make its way through the torturous path of Mig's broken-down cauliflower ears. That is to say, dear reader, Miggery so heard, perfect and untrue, every single word the rat Roscuro uttered. "You have known your share of tragedy," said Roscuro to Mig. "Perhaps it is time for you to make the acquaintance of triumph and glory."
"Triumph," said Mig.
"Glory?"
"Allow me to introduce myself," said Roscuro. "I am Chiaroscuro. Friends call me Roscuro. And your name is Miggery So. And it is true, is it not, that most people call you simply Mig?"
"Ain't that the thing?" shouted Mig.
A rat who knows my name.
Miss Smiggery, my dear, I do not want to appear too forward so early in our acquaintance, but may I inquire, am I right in ascertaining that you have aspirations?
What do you mean, aspirations? Shouted Mig.
Miss Smiggery, there is no need to shout, none at all. As you can hear me, so I can hear you. We two are perfectly suited, each to the other.
Roscuro smiled again, displaying a mouthful of sharp yellow teeth.
Aspirations, my dear, are those things that would make a serving girl wish to be a princess.
Gore, agreed Meg, a princess is exactly what I want to be.
There is, my dear, a way to make that happen. I believe that there is a way to make that dream come true.
You mean that I could be the Princess P?
Yes, Your Highness, said Roscuro, and he swept the spoon off his head and bowed deeply at the waist.
Yes, Your Most Royal Princess P.
Gore, said Mig, may I tell you my plan? May I illustrate for you how we can make your dreams of becoming a princess a reality?
Yes, said Mig, yes.
It begins, said Roscuro, with yours truly and the chewing of a rope. Mig had held the tray with the one small candle burning bright, and she listened as the rat went on, speaking directly to the wish in her heart. So passionately did Roscuro speak, and so intently did the serving girl listen, that neither noticed as the napkin on the tray moved. Nor did they hear the small mouse-like noises of disbelief and outrage that issued from the napkin as Roscuro went on unfolding, step by step, his diabolical plan to bring the princess to darkness.